Oh, that's right. I'm right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Gracie's over there sleeping. This was a little early for her to get going. And, of course, I told you I was going to have a nurse navigator on the phone with us, and I do. Barbara Warner, how are you doing this morning?
Well, Anne, I'm just doing great this morning. It's a little windy, but we're still hanging in here.
Absolutely. What choice do we have, right?
Exactly.
So how have things been doing? I mean, I understand you've been pretty busy.
With the nurse navigators?
Yes.
Well, yes, I think I mentioned this when I was on that show back in the fall, that I really, it's a passion for me to bring integrative medicine, you know, complementary alternative best practices into this area. And our nurse navigators have been very busy, and we're having some really good feedback. We've got some people that are really interested up in Greenville Hospital Systems. We've done some local talks to groups. It just feels real great. We're just kind of going along. When the doors open, we walk through.
That's a good thing. I know one of the things that you have been teaching is, what's that called, Reiki?
Reiki, yes. We've got that available. We've gotten it. As nurses have to have a certain amount of contact hours every several years for their license renewal, and we've made Reiki available for nurses or anyone else who wants to take it, but for those kind of contact hours, which is a bit unusual because usually Reiki is just taught by a Reiki master, and that's fine, but when you add the potential for nurses to be able to get contact hours, that makes it hopefully more available to them, because it's something can be used at the bedside for increasing comfort and decreasing pain, and it's especially useful in hospice.
Now, well, what exactly does Reiki do?
Reiki is a form of what we call energy medicine, and we are all energy. We are energy through our bodies, excuse me, and externally around our bodies as well. And the belief with energy medicine, well, basically the belief with most every complementary alternative practice, is that disease is part of energy that has stopped flowing through the body. Where there is a sluggish blockage, that's where disease may start to develop. So Reiki is one of the processes that helps move energy. Other processes that move energy are things like just simply exercise or yoga or, you know, things that are physical that move things through the body. With Reiki, you have a Reiki practitioner who stands over the person who is fully clothed and moves and smooths the energy across the body and can feel where there are blockages. For a Reiki person, a blockage may feel cold, or it may feel hot, or it may feel thick, that type of thing.
Now, why is this particularly useful in hospice?
Well, hospice is, you know, a place where folks are just, unfortunately, leaving the earth, and it's the ideal for hospice that they be in as much comfort as possible.
Sure.
And often they are certainly kept in those states with massive doses of drugs, but they've also found that in the event that for some reason a person can't take a certain amount of drugs or the drugs aren't really effective, they have the Reiki or actually therapeutic touch and healing touch are very similar processes and are used in the same way in hospice, that they actually can help the person feel calm. What we do with those kinds of things, with Reiki, therapeutic touches, we generally work around the chakra system, which are seven energy centers in the body.
Well, this sounds like you're getting into some of that hoodoo.
I'm getting into the woo-woo stuff, yeah.
Now, is this for real, Barbara, or are you just trying to put some mumbo-jumbo on us here today?
Hey, the real Barbara does all this stuff.
No, really. I mean, a lot of people don't understand it.
And that's the part that is so exciting with bringing it into this area. Many parts of the country are already using things like this. Most parts of the country Reiki is the employees of, let's say, hospice centers, often rehab centers, are sent to Reiki training or therapeutic touch training because it helps. What we're finding, it's kind of like you say woo-woo, but let's say maybe 30 years ago, nobody knew that you could measure or see what you can see now in MRIs.
Sure.
And that's energy. So there are many more ways of being able to see things so that you can start to believe them, that they're not so woo-woo. When we can see them and touch them, the general public doesn't necessarily feel that they're so woo-woo. There are
Now, Barbara, we need to explain to everybody here your background, because otherwise people are going to be saying
they're going to say she's too woo-woo. That's exactly right.
Now, you taught at Clemson.
I still do.
Still do.
Uh-huh. I spent 25-plus years in Atlanta as a nurse psychotherapist. Came to Clemson and taught for 6 years full-time and developed an integrative medicine for nurses elective, which I still teach now in the summer.
Okay.
And in that elective, I expose nurses or students to all the different complementary alternative practices that we would love to see augment what's going on in Western medicine. Because as many people know, in fact, the people who use complementary alternative practices and therapies right now are already trying to pull themselves away from the overuse of medication and trying to pull themselves out of this business of I'm going to go in, I'm going to get rid of my responsibility and give my body to this doctor to fix it. They want more responsibility in their health care.
Well, you know, with what's happening in healthcare, we better be able to fix ourselves a little bit without using so much of these medications and all this testing and all this stuff.
Right. Now, it's interesting. I was speaking with a doctor on Friday up in Greenville, and we do evidently have something in the healthcare bill about prevention, but the prevention is not truly as strongly supported in the way it needs to be. Prevention looks, in some of the Western vernacular, like we are going to prevent by screening.
Sure.
So we're going to look for a disease. But what we have to be doing is preventing the disease in the first place.
Yep.
And that's where we want to look at self-care and the kinds of decisions about how you're going to live, how you're going to move, how you're going to eat, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, Barbara, you were on last fall after I had broken my arm, and you had told me about using mental imagery. Imagine my arm being knitted back together.
Exactly.
And every day when I was in the shower, I'd take a few minutes and I'd just talk about it. And the next time I went back, now I'm not saying, but I am saying that they were like amazed. Yes, your arm is healed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can I say it was my brain? I don't know, but it's definitely a possibility to help.
The brain has tremendous power over the body. And we just, again, we in this little pocket, I kind of look at South Carolina with North Carolina, where Mission Hospital has a lot of these practices in place. Georgia with Emory and those sorts of things in place. Actually, there's a Mind-Body Institute in Athens at the University of Georgia. Florida is full of those kinds of things for folks down there. Reiki is being used all over Florida in hospice and in other hospital settings, as well as other complementary modalities. But if you look at the map, then it's like poor old South Carolina is getting kind of squeezed here, and it's going to pop. We're bringing it in, and it's just a matter of hopefully getting people to be much more open to it. The practitioners are here.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, you hold on the line. We're going to come back with Barbara Warner. If you want to give her a call after the show, 678-427-1404. That's 678-427-1404. We've got to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. I'm Ann Eller. I am right back here with a nurse and navigator herself, Barbara Warner. She is here with us this morning. We're talking about how the mind and how you can help keep yourself well. And there's some great tips that she's going to be giving us right now. We're going to be talking about something that I guess is new, but maybe it's not so new, but mindfulness meditation. Barbara, what can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, mindfulness meditation is extremely old.
Okay.
Mainly because, excuse me, I have my little coffee thing here going in the morning.
Is it meditation or is there something different?
It is a specific type of meditation. It's definitely meditation. But whereas many types of meditation have you either focus on a word or focus on a body part to relax it or heal it like you did with the guided imagery, that type of thing. Mindfulness meditation seeks to just allow and encourage you to be in the present moment just as that moment is. So you are simply looking and following your breath and being aware of what occurs, what you're feeling perhaps during that time without any judgment, without any intention to move something or to do anything with it or to change it in any way. So basically, it's a non-judgmental attention to experiences in the present moment. And what's so important about the present moment is we spend much of our time on autopilot, missing our lives.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. You know, my dog, Gracie, helps bring me back to reality.
Yes. We can learn a lot from dogs. They are definitely in the present moment.
Exactly.
They are. But so many times we worry about what we've said to somebody and what just happened and what am I going to do in the future because I should do this and I need to do that, and you totally miss the present moment.
But those are things that we have to deal with. So how do we put the two together, Barbara?
Well, what's interesting, too, is those thought jumbling things that keep us worried about the past, thinking about the future, also keep us from really getting in touch with that inner self that we have that knows some answers. And we also add a lot of stress to our physical bodies.
Yes, we do. Particularly in this economy, I think people have been very stressed.
And the thing about mindfulness meditation, it allows that person who's very stressed, let's say, at other times, to have a moment, even if it begins at 3 minutes or then goes up to 10 minutes, and ideally may even allow them 45 minutes to just sit and breathe and be in the present. That allows the body that much time to heal.
Because it's like a reset button?
It's a reset button.
Yeah.
Exactly. You talked about how old this is. It is ancient.
And where does it come from?
The main focus, the main belief systems and things of mindfulness meditation come from Buddhist meditation.
Okay.
And Buddhism not being a religion as much as a healthcare practice of that time. And so what's happened is a fellow named John Kabat-Zinn, who is in Massachusetts at Mass General Hospital, developed mindfulness toward more of a Western acceptance kind of practice, and he incorporates that with what they call up there mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR. It is a very, very highly researched program. Mm-hmm. It is all over the country. It is in all major medical centers, UCLA, Duke, all of them. Anywhere you go, you're going to hear MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction. It's a very extensive program that has been found to be very useful in treating actual, not just stress diseases, but actual physical things that are happening with people with cancer, with stroke, things like that. They're doing research all over the country on this.
And so what are we finding, Barbara?
we're finding that, like you said, that reset button can actually help to reverse some of the effects of physical illnesses, some of the effects of coronary artery disease. If they can get a person to have some lifestyle changes, some nutrition changes, some changes in their ability to cope with stress, that their cardiac status can actually improve after a heart attack rather than remain stable from that point forward, which is what we usually see as the course of cardiac expectations. That, okay, I've done this damage, and forward I am going to be hoping I don't do more damage. But actually with lifestyle changes, which include exercise and nutrition and mindfulness, mindful attention to stress and other kinds of activities, can actually help improve the cardiac status. Right. I mean, there's research all over the place. What's very interesting is people could go to the Mass General website or just look up mindfulness meditation research and a Google search and find lots and lots and lots of phenomenal information.
Now, is this something that you're teaching?
We are.
Well, how does one go about finding out how you're teaching it or where are you doing it? How's that working?
Well, actually, what we've attempted to do, as I said earlier, is try to make some inroads into the medical community. And we have been fortunate enough to have gone up to Greenville Healthcare Systems, or Health Systems is what they're calling it now, and we had a meeting with a gal who is in charge of the Center for Integrative Oncology Survivorship, which is an outpatient program in their cancer center. And they are an integrative program, and they wanted a mindfulness program. They didn't have one. So we said, well, we certainly could help you set that up. And we worked with them. We have a grant, and we will be doing two sets of 8 session patient groups this year, and we'll also be teaching the staff in that integrative oncology center about complementary alternative medicine so that they can truly say that they are an integrative oncology center.
Now, are you doing anything on the local level? I mean, if somebody wanted to call you or a group wanted to call you, are you doing any of that stuff here?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to be able to talk to the Women's Leadership Council. We did a breakfast meeting. We've done some real informal kind of talks. I did an aromatherapy talk at Stony Point. We had our It's About Me, Health Matters in Mind, Body, and Spirit at Hickory Knob, which is about a 7-hour retreat that we are very willing to repeat wherever anyone finds the audience. We'll be happy to provide that type of retreat. And we have attempted to make some inroads to self. We've made many calls and unfortunately haven't gotten any appointments. We maybe had one little appointment, but it was hasn't panned out. So we would love to be more local, but right now we are going to Greenville and have several other opportunities in that Greenville Health System that are opening up to us as well. So we're excited about that.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say we do a little meditation here on the radio, but, you know, I'm afraid people might be driving and that might not be a good thing.
Not a good thing. But let me tell you what they can do, what we can do that's not, do you have a moment?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, what we can do that is not necessarily a meditation that's going to take them away from things, but they can, as they're driving or you as you're sitting, just be very intentional about being compassionate when you say this. Excuse me. And from your heart, say, may I be healthy. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. And may I be safe. And then changing focus ever so slightly, perhaps to someone that you know and love, perhaps to somebody that you are not getting along with very well. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you be peaceful, and may you be safe. And one more switch to all those people that are out there in Radio Land, to the planet, and to those folks that are on this planet that don't like us very much even. May they be healthy. May they be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be safe. This is one of the meditations through mindfulness called loving kindness meditation, and it tends to open a compassionate way of dealing with yourself and with the world. So that's...
So we could call that HHPS.
Yes.
Healthy, happy, peaceful, safe.
Exactly.
I like it, Barbara. We're going to have you back again. Listen, you know, we don't want anybody to go to sleep here, but...
No, wake up.
Wake up. Yeah, come back to life. If you'd like to give Barbara a call, 678-427-1404. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, don't forget Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, 130 Uptown Greenwood. Hey, Barbara, stay on the line for a second. Bye-bye, everybody.